This is the San Diego Hot Stove Podcast.
That's a hot one.
From the Padres Radio Network.
Shipley deals. Hunter hits one deep. Car rushed. Here he goes again. Lower deck, left field. Ball going, ball gone. Hunter Renfroe, three home run day. Welcome back, kid.
Friday, March the 9th. I'm going to give you the Padres' entire 25-man roster today. You ready to do that, Rich? The whole thing. The entire roster. What it's going to look like on opening day. But before we get to that, it's looking more and more like, Rich, that Jake Arrieta is going to be pitching on opening day when the San Diego Padres take on the Milwaukee Brewers. The question is, going to be pitching for the Padres or the Brewers? The Padres have actually all of a sudden appeared, according to some reports, as an outside shot to maybe go after Jake Arrieta. Meanwhile, odds on favorite to get him is the Milwaukee Brewers. So one way or another, we may see him in San Diego on March 29th. Love to see him in the Padres.
I would have thought you were nuts had I not woken up this morning about 4:30 a.m. as my phone starts blowing up because a couple big free agents have signed to contracts they were not intending to sign. Cargo is going back to the Colorado Rockies. That's bad news for the West. He was offered $45 million last year, a year ago for a 3-4-year deal, turned it down. He's going to get about $6 million. Eric Hosmer comes over to the Padres. His running mate, Michael Moustakas, was looking for the same kind of deal that Haas got. Instead, he's going to settle for a 1-year deal around $6-7 million, $22.7 million over 2 years, with a mutual option for both teams and players on that deal. The big name free agents did not get their money. Yu Darvish got it. Eric Hosmer got his, but the rest are just standing there like Chris Sale on a called third strike.
That's me.
And right now it looks like if that's what the market's going to bear out, Darvish got his money. Kane got his, which was below what everybody thought. Hosmer got what he was looking at with a deal that the Padres made happen with a compromise with Scott Boras. Now you've got Moustakas going back for less than market value. You've got Cargo going back for less than market value. So that tells Jake Arrieta, Lance Lynn, and Alex Cobb, you guys are going to have to blink and figure out what to do. So with all that being said, it is not beyond the realm of possibility. Scott Boras has a good working relationship with A.J. Preller. You saw how easily they got the Mackenzie Gore deal done. You saw how patient each other were through the Eric Hosmer negotiations. And if you're Jake Arrieta and you're looking for a one-year landing spot with a club option, A.J. Preller has the capability of being that creative, knowing that I've got Mackenzie Gore coming. If I can get Arrieta right now to be that one that I need to compete, remember we said 1-3-5, survive, succeed, and sustain. Well, year one, right now it's going to be hard to survive without a one. I get Arrieta, man, that rotation instantly gets better because now I have a true one and I can slot 2, 3, 4, and 5. They're looking for a one-year landing spot. San Diego's an awfully nice place for Arrieta to go and show everybody he could pitch and then go back into the free agent market next year. Not going to hurt the Padres because they have the guys coming. So it's not a rent-a-player, not going to give anything away. It seems like a really good fit for both.
Yeah, seems like a great fit. I mean, if Jake Arrieta came to the Padres, I'm telling you what, all of a sudden people are going to start thinking about when do we buy our playoff tickets. Now, I don't know that he can change it that much, but he did win the Cy Young a couple of years ago. And it's not like he's fallen miserably off the map. He's gone 18-8 and 14-10 the 2 years since he won the Cy Young. So Jake Arrieta, he's an ace, and there's no question about it. Speaking of it, I mean, ace up your sleeve. What's your favorite poem? I was thinking of this when I was talking about thinking of the ace up the sleeve. Do you remember the game Black Mariah? Remember that game?
What?
Yeah, 7-card stud Black Mariah. You played 7 stud, and then the highest spade in the hole automatically split the pot. So if you had the ace of spades in the hole, you automatically split the pot. I'm thinking maybe Jake Arrieta could be that ace of spades in the hole for the Padres, and all of a sudden this whole season changes like that.
I wish this were a real TV show instead of a fake radio show so I could just look at have everyone look at you as crazy as I'm looking at you right now. But I think you're right. Not about the card game, but about if you bring in Jake Arrieta, he needs a landing spot. He knows teams aren't going to give up much for him. You also have to remember that I think you'll have to give away some compensation going back. The Padres have their farm system ranked number one. They can afford to do it. There's a lot of reasons why this makes sense. There's a lot of reasons why it doesn't make sense. But I'll tell you what. The ups and downs of the Eric Hosmer negotiations for the season let you know that don't count Preller out.
Don't count this thing out. Yeah, it could happen. And then, like I said, now the odds are still on. I mean, people are putting odds on where it is going to wind up. And the odds on favorite is still Milwaukee. So that's who the Padres face on opening day. So maybe if you're A.J. Preller, you step in and you say, hey, look, do I want to face Jake Arrieta on opening day or do I want him on my side? It could be very, very interesting. The Padres could go from a no contending, no player, not just waiting around for a couple more years to all of a sudden making some serious noise. I mean, everyone's picking them last right now. They get Jake Arrieta, then people aren't going to pick them last anymore.
Who would you pick above them then? How would you move them above? San Francisco is going to be a completely different ball club. Colorado just got Cargo back.
Oh, boy. Arizona. If I'm a left-handed reliever, I am so happy to hear that news because all I have to do is throw a curveball within 10 feet of the outside corner and Cargo will swing and miss. So I'm fine with that.
You've got the Arizona Diamondbacks, which I think will backslide. But again, that was a playoff team last year. So what, do they backslide to 500?
I know. Three teams were in the playoffs last year, plus the Giants. So who are the Padres going to pass? But I don't know. I'm getting excited all of a sudden.
No. Don't let me knock this down. I'm excited about this as well. That's why I was up at 5:30. I was texting, making phone calls, trying to find out if this is legit. It's legit. And I'm going to make some more phone calls this afternoon to see if I can get even more details. But this is legit. And if you're a Padre fan, again, we talked about that guy that thinks the world is going to end in 10 minutes and the guy that thinks he's going to live forever. Somewhere in between the middle is where Arrieta right now is in conjunction with the San Diego Padres. So, you know, if you don't get your hopes up, if you want to get your heart broken, but hey, listen, if you want to be optimistic, go for it, because you thought it was the same thing with Hosmer.
Well, and the last thing for Arrieta, if he's going to go somewhere for a year and try to keep his value, Petco Park is probably the best place you can go. All right, speaking of legit, Travis Jankowski yesterday flashed the legit speed that we have talked about for him inside the park home run against the Cubs. Jankowski makes his team. He's going to make it on his speed. Manuel Margot, center field. We know he can cover a lot of ground. We were talking about saving runs defensively if you're the Padres. Do a whole lot worse than if you had Margot and Jankowski in your outfield together. How many runs is that going to save?
It's going to save a lot because they can flat out get it. That's why when you look around, we were talking about Spangenberg last year. Where is he going to fit in? How does Jankowski crack this? Alex Dickerson, obviously, not going to be ready to go. UCL tear, which stands for? Ulnar.
Collateral ligament.
Thank you very much for helping me.
Wow, I got two of those, I think.
Yeah, you did real well. Franchy Cordero is either going to play every day or he's going to go to AAA. That's my opinion. So can Jankowski go out there and be a late inning replacement? So remember this. Will Myers is going to be playing in left field, and it's going to be an adventure at times for him because he hasn't played out there for a while. Try this two-year experiment at first base. Don't be surprised if you could see Jankowski making the club and his role being that late inning replacement if you have a lead and you need a defensive replacement for Will Myers and a double switch.
Let me ask you about Manuel Margot. We haven't talked a lot about him. We've talked about all of the battles going on this spring. We've talked about the young players, the Tatis, Urias, everybody like that. Manuel Margot, I don't want to say he's been a forgotten figure. We know he's there. There's not a lot of reason to talk about him. He's going to be in center field. He's going to be leading off on opening day. It's his second big season. He's coming off a great rookie year. Finished sixth in the rookie of the year balloting last year. 13 home runs surprised everybody. 17 stolen bases. But I have to be honest with you, Rich. I'm a little concerned when I look back at his season and I see 35 walks. And I know that he's a free swinger. But if he's going to bat leadoff in the major leagues, he has to be on base more than he was last year. 313 on-base percentage, not going to cut it. And Manuel Margot talks about, hey, I want to be a superstar. To me, the first step for him becoming a superstar is to leave that bat on his shoulders once in a while. Take some advice from taking a third strike Chris once in a while, Manuel. What do you think?
Are you talking about Manuel Margot that we're going to see this year in year one or are we going to see the Manuel Margot we'll see in year three or in year five of this 1-3-5-year plan? He's a young player.
23.
He's a young player with very limited service time, lots of injuries that have kept him off the field for extended amounts of time. Here's what I see. I see an aggressive hitter. I don't see an undisciplined hitter, but I see an aggressive hitter that works to put the ball in play, that's attacking strikes early in the at-bat. So he's going to put a lot of balls in play. He's going to be aggressive. So there's that fine line, right? Let's go back to Matt Stairs of Moneyball, because Matt Stairs was there during Moneyball. The whole preface that started all of the sabermetrics was Billy Beane, the general manager of the Oakland A's, was trying to figure out why the New York Yankees were just killing him every year. And he noticed that the New York Yankees saw more pitches per game than anybody else in baseball, and they saw more relief pitchers, meaning that they worked the count. They worked the count. They worked the count. And they got in, excuse me, to the soft underbelly of a bullpen as much as they could. So they were beating up guys in the seventh and eighth inning before you got to the closers. So Billy said, listen, we need to draw walks. We need to have a higher on-base percentage, which you do need in baseball. But when you do that, there's the double-edged sword. So in the Oakland A's organization, when Matt Stairs was there, they had a rule. You weren't eligible for a minor league award unless you had more walks than strikeouts for the period that award was given. So they were encouraging guys to be less aggressive, to take more walks. Well, I'm not sure where the line is, but I can't be a guy that just has my bat in the shoulder getting in pitcher's counts because I'm taking pitches, trying to draw a walk, as opposed to a guy who's going to go up there like Vlad Guerrero and swing from his nose to his toes whenever he's out there. By the way, I got a great story about Vlad Guerrero for you. Manuel Margot is more Vlad than he is Moneyball. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to swing. He's going to put the ball in play, and that's a good thing. He just needs to make sure that he puts the ball in play and he gets on base as well. So he'll become more selective, but I don't want to take the aggressiveness out of his at-bats. So it's a double-edged sword. How aggressive do I want to be versus how patient do I want to be? That's that line that every hitter has to figure out.
That's going to be an interesting thing to watch with Manuel Margot this year. Just how much does he walk? Just how much does he be a little more patient than he was a year ago? And like you said, Rich, if he is more patient, does that hurt his ability to attack the baseball? It's going to be kind of part of the growing process for Manuel Margot.
So the Vlad Guerrero story real quick.
Can I just sneak duck one in thing in, because I've been dying all night to tell you this. Do you remember yesterday I called him Michelle Margot?
Yes.
Yeah, and you gave me a hard time. I realized last night why I did that. Because there used to be a hockey player for the Peoria Rivermen.
No.
Named Michelle Mongeau. And so when I think of Margot, I thought of Margot. And that's why I said Michelle Margot. And that's, I think it's an interesting study in the human character. That was like 18 years ago announcing minor league hockey. But that name crept into my head yesterday, and that's why I called him Michelle Margot. It's never happened to you?
Yeah, I called him Michelle Margot, but I was thinking of Marcel. 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 I was thinking of Marcel. God bless it.
You don't even know his name anymore, do you?
What's his
name? His name is Manuel Margot.
But I was thinking of the Margot that was on TV here on Fox Sports San Diego, who just left us to go to Sun Sports in the Tampa Bay Rays. I was thinking of Michelle Margot.
Isn't that funny? I was thinking of Michelle Mongeau, a former hockey player from like 20 years ago in my life. That's just how that worked. All right, get to my Vladimir Guerrero story. It's better.
Wait a minute. That's not creepy that I was thinking of her and confusing. You're thinking of a hockey player. I'm thinking of a beautiful woman.
I like what you're thinking of better.
Okay, I just want to make sure it's not creepy. You know, Vlad Guerrero, going into the Hall of Fame, there's that everybody talks about. He swung from his nose to his toes. When you watched him play, did you think he was undisciplined, or did you just think he was crazy because he's swinging at everything coming down the plate?
I had no problem with it because he could hit anything. So, look at and comparing him to Manuel Margot is not fair. Manuel's too young in his career. But if a guy can hit anything bouncing in there, Manny Sanguian is a guy that I remember back in the day with the Pittsburgh Pirates. You could bounce it up there and he'd hit it off the wall. And I don't mind that. I mean, I have no problem with it. So that's what I think of when I think of Vladimir Guerrero. And I think it makes it awfully tough on a pitcher because pitchers can't nibble at all. They can't get him to chase anything because he can hit everything.
So here's the story I learned about Vlad Guerrero is, and this is from Jose Mota, who's one of the Angels broadcasters, and Kevin Kennedy, who you know told me this story, that they actually would play a game in the Dominican with license plates, and the strike zone was the license plate that was sitting down behind the hitter's feet. That's where you got the strike because they didn't have somebody call balls and strikes, so they moved that license plate around. That's why he was able to hit everything because as a kid, he had to go down and get that license plate that's sitting on the ground because if that hit, it's a strike. You couldn't get anything past you. You're supposed to be like a goalie with the stick. That's why he was such a free swinger because as a kid playing that game, he learned how to hit a pitch up, down, in, out, no matter where it was. He could reach it and put it in play.
Vladimir Guerrero was the originator, I think, of the guy, of the thinking that you can't bunt your way off the island, right? You have to hit your way off the island to get to the big leagues. Now, I don't know that he was the first guy to do it, but that's always been a saying, right? You can't bunt your way off that. You can't walk your way off the island. You got to hit your way off the island. Are you ready for this now? I got no trivia today. Not yet. None's come to mind yet. But Bleacher Report came out with their 25-man roster, final 25-man roster for the Padres. I mean, we're 3 weeks ahead of opening day, but they say we know exactly what it's going to be. So I thought I'd run it down with you real quick. And the starting five, Chad Richard. He must be another former hockey player. Brian Mitchell, Luis Perdomo, Denelson Lamet, Tyson Ross. That's the five they project. Relievers, Hand, Yates, Stammen, Phil Maton, Makita, the Japanese import, Adam Simber. You're going to have to tell me a little bit about him. Buddy Bauman, Chris Young is the long man. So that's 13 pitchers. Break camp with 13. They could break camp with 12, but if they go 13, that's the 13. Austin Hedges, A.J. Ellis behind the plate, Hosmer, Asuaje, Galvis, Headley, Villanueva, some guy named Spangenberg. If he makes it, if he makes it and they're right, you win a lunch. Outfield, Perella, Margot, Myers, Jankowski, done. You notice that I did not say Franchy Cordero, which isn't a stunner, but what is a stunner would be no Hunter Renfro in that 25-man alignment. Your thoughts, my friend?
Let's run through the outfielders for me one more time.
All right, Perella, Margot, Myers, Jankowski. Just four. Four outfielders in this. Now, that's, again, with a 13-man pitching staff. But remember, early in the season, a lot of teams start with 13 because guys aren't going as deep into games.
But I don't think they start with a five-man rotation to begin with or have the fifth starter there on opening day because you got that off day on
Easter.
So you don't need that. You can carry one extra position player for the first couple games, first three games until you get to that off day and then you add them on the fifth.
So you think Hunter Renfro takes that spot. Tyson Ross starts like on the minors and then comes up to be a starter and then what, Renfro goes down?
No, I think Jake Arrieta starts on opening day for you.
Oh, that a baby. I like it. Let's go all the way. Then Tyson Ross, we can waive him because we don't need him anymore.
So that means that according to – is that Bleacher Report you were talking about? Was that Scott Miller writing that?
I think it's just the staff because they put together something for every team, and I didn't go through every team's 25-man roster, but I certainly went through the Padres.
So if it's Scott, I believe you. Because Scott's the best. Scott's a good dude. We're lucky to have him here in town.
He used to barely be able to carry my jock, by the way, because I started at the LA Times San Diego edition as a prep writer, and Scott Miller came along. I had to teach him the ropes. Now he's like a Hall of Fame writer, and I'm sitting here with you. So, you know, it's funny how things tend to work out, but Scott will tell you. Anyway, I do like Scott as well.
I love Scott Miller. He's the best. And he's probably the best-dressed writer in all of baseball as well. That tells me that there really is some pressure mounting because if Scott's involved in it, he knows exactly what's going on. That means there's some pressure mounting on Hunter Renfro. And here's the thing you have to remember. We talked about this with your favorite players like Yonhair Vigilante. As the team gets better, some of the better players on bad teams that you glom onto leave, go by the wayside. Johnny Gomes, a lot of different places. He was a fan favorite, but then as the talent got better, he became a role player.
Renfro hit 26 bombs last year. And now, granted, that was playing again almost every day and facing a lot of tough right-handed pitching. But we broke down his splits against lefties yesterday. He absolutely mashed left-handers. Are you ready to give away those, the automatic 20 home runs that he's going to hit against left-handed pitching?
I'm not, but I will tell you, as somebody who's been through Moneyball and a couple different rebuilds, there's always that guy who's that can't miss. There's always that. We talked about Delmon Young yesterday, number one draft pick. Wasn't part of the big plans when the Rays went to the World Series when I worked there. There were guys like Adam Piatt, who was supposed to be the next big thing, next big star behind Jason Giambi in Oakland during the Moneyball era, didn't make it. There's always going to be a couple guys that you think the world of, you project, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't come together for them. I'm not ready to give up on Hunter Renfro by any stretch of the imagination. Too much power, too good of an arm, too good of a defender. But the pressure's on him, and he's going to here's the point, Chris. I guess what I'm saying is everybody has potential. But when you get to that point where I need production, I don't care what your potential is, you better produce. And I think he's at that crossroad where he's gone from what kind of potential do you have to what are you going to produce, what are you going to post, and that's going to determine where you're going to play.
All right, so the bottom line is I think when we look at the potential 25-man roster for opening day is what we said yesterday. And what we said yesterday was that I said I thought Spangenberg might be the odd guy out. You bet me a lunch on that, I'm going to probably lose a lunch. But now today, maybe Renfro's that odd guy out. The point is somebody's going to be the odd guy out, and it's going to be somebody who you're pretty familiar with as a Padre fan. And A, that's a good problem to have, but B, it sucks because you want to keep them all.
Well, I'll give you your choice. Do you want Eric Hosmer, or do you want to have guys that were on a sub-500 team last year sticking around? That's the thing. Think about what Eric Hosmer's done. He has completely remade and flipped everything over and actually kind of supercharged the rebuild, because now with Hosmer sitting at first, moving Will over to the outfield, that means there's less outfield spots. Now there's more depth. And, wow, there's a domino effect that can happen in the outfield. There's a domino effect that can happen in the infield at second base. There's a domino effect for Spangenberg. That one guy has changed the depth of this ball club in four different positions.
It's amazing, and it's going to be really fascinating the next 3 weeks to watch how it plays out. And it's going to be really interesting the next 3 weeks to watch how the Jake Arrieta situation plays out. Could the Padres wind up golden with an ace before the start of this season? Well, we don't know. One thing we do know, we got two aces here. Chris and Rich, that's your Padre Radio podcast for Friday.
This is the Padres Radio Network. Like and follow us on Facebook.com/Padres Radio. Sign up for our newsletter on PadresRadio.com.